Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill, only on LA Talk Radio.
Well, happy Monday, everybody, and thank you so much for tuning in to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill. We are thrilled to have you here on this special day for any of you out there celebrating the Rosh Hashanah New Year. Shana Tova to any of you tuning in. We are very excited today to have back as a guest on the show, Shannon Leishner. Now, Shannon has been one of my spiritual advisors and dear friends for probably going on about 10 years now. But let me tell you a little bit about her background before we get into what we're going to discuss today. Shannon is a world-renowned psychic medium and theta healer and instructor who was born with powerful inherited abilities from generations of truly gifted family members. For over 20 years, she has been changing lives through life path coaching, angelic communication, mediumship, and energy work in order to help people from all over the world find their divine purpose. Shannon has an extraordinary ability to communicate, interact with, and cross over spiritual beings. Her immense relationship with the angelic realm has taught her that there is definitely more to this world than we are able to see. Along with that, before Shannon went into the metaphysical world, she also got her MPA in public administration and had a very successful career in business for many years. So Shannon, I'd like to welcome you to the show.
Hello, hello. Thanks for having me on.
Yes, I'm so happy to have you here. So for our listeners just tuning in, if you haven't listened to the show before, I highly encourage you guys to go back to the archives, either on iTunes, you can find our show on Get Yourself the Job on iTunes, or in the archive of LA Talk Radio's website for July 17th. I believe that was the last day that we had Shannon on, and I got a lot of really positive feedback. In fact, quite a few of our listeners requested specifically that I have Shannon on the show again. So I'm delighted to have you back, and especially on this day. This is actually a very interesting day. As I started off the show, for many of you who might be of a Jewish background, it is Rosh Hashanah. For me, I personally study Kabbalah as well as Buddhism and certain Hindu beliefs, and what I found really fascinating, which I think is why it's perfect to have Shannon on the show this particular day, is that the Hindus, the Kabbalists, people of Jewish descent all believe that today and tomorrow are the days to draw down all of the light, all of the prosperity, all of the health, the love, anything it is that you want, extraordinary, impossible results for your life. This is your chance to do so. So this 24-hour period, starting today through the end of tomorrow, is your chance to connect to the love, light, beauty, power, prosperity, whatever it is in your life that you're longing for, and specifically tying it into this show, your dream career. So what Shannon and I wanted to discuss today is, what do we do? How do we make sure that, you know, we have this amazing consciousness, say perhaps for these 48 hours on working on generating everything we want for our lives, but how do we carry over that consciousness into the coming year? And this is true whether or not you celebrate Rosh Hashanah now or the new year on January 1st, we all get this great momentum and I'm going to change the world. And then life happens. And when life happens, we get kind of stuck. So Shannon, why don't you tell our listeners some of your favorite tools to kind of keep yourself on track and stay positive throughout the whole year, not just this 48-hour period?
Well, I kind of see resolutions or promises to change as like going on a diet. So when you go on a diet, you know, we say, yes, we're going to do it. And then we always say, I think we're going to start tomorrow. No, we're going to start tomorrow. And then very quickly the resolution becomes, you come to the end of the year and you go, oh, I was supposed to start that. So I'll start it next year. And
true.
So we're always waiting for tomorrow. We're always waiting for the next day. And when you are really manifesting or creating what it is in your want in your life, it's a lifestyle. It's not just a quick change. It's something that we have to be conscious of every day, because we create not only the positive in our life, we create the negative in our life. So when we always focus on what we don't want, that is exactly what we're creating, because what you focus on, you create.
I totally couldn't agree with you more. And it's so funny because twice over the course of this weekend, I was very lucky to be up in Napa with a friend of mine. The conversation kept coming up with different people I encountered about be do have or have do be. And I know you and I were talking about this earlier. What's really fascinating is it's human nature to think, oh, if we have the right things, if I have the right house, then I'll do the right work, then I'll be happy. And really, the more spiritual work I've done and the more developmental and transformative work I've done, I've learned that it's exactly the opposite. And we're going to be exploring this even further next week with our special guest, David Cunningham from Landmark Education. And it's all actually about be, do, have. Believe it or not, if you can be satisfied and be happy in this moment, or like you said, whether it's a diet or finding the love of your life or the job of your life, be disciplined and start with the being, the doing and the having will naturally follow as a progression. Wouldn't you say, Shannon?
Oh, absolutely. I always tell my clients, and this is along the same lines, your thoughts, words, and actions must align if you want to create a new reality. And so, and actually to create any reality, your thoughts, words, and actions must align. So like you said, if you're going to be, those are your actions. What are you doing about it? You know, where are you? And what are you owning, right? And doing and creating those actions as well. But it's what are you thinking about? What are you saying? And what are you doing? And if you are saying, oh, yes, I really want to have this great job by the end of the year, but you're not doing anything about it, and you're sitting there waiting, that job is going to come, but it's definitely not going to come to you, because most jobs don't come and knock on your door unless you are super, super well-known, and even then, you still have to work for them.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's one of the things. I was just talking to a job seeker who was at my office at my J. Hill Staffing Services company in West LA the other day. And this job seeker, it's so funny, these conversations, how they naturally come up, was telling me, you know, she just wasn't sure and things were hard and she wasn't happy. And so what I said to her is, you know, just it all starts with an intention. It's your intention times your action that equals your success and your employability in life, because you can have one or the other. You can sit here and think like power of attraction or law of attraction and manifest. But if you're still sitting on the couch and you're not submitting resumes for your dream job, or vice versa, if you're submitting tons of resumes but with zero intention behind it, you're going to find yourself just kind of in limbo and going, well, gosh, why am I not getting the results I want? And oftentimes when we find ourselves in those positions, we typically blame people, we blame our parents, we blame our spouse, we blame a lack of a spouse, and we blame all of these circumstances rather than actually seeing that any obstacle we're currently facing in our life was a choice that we made to help unfold our greater light. In fact, today I was at a Rosh Hashanah service this morning, and one of the speakers was saying something really brilliant, and they said, you know, most of the time in our lives, we're faced with conflict, and even the most spiritually enlightened people will tell themselves, all I want to do is get through it. I just want to get out the other side of this unemployment, you know, the loss of a loved one, whatever it might be. And rather than that, if you could actually see whatever that greatest obstacle is that you're facing right now in your life, be it unemployment, dissatisfaction in a marriage, a job, personally, professionally, and if you could see that as the gate that gives you access to all of your happiness unfolding, to all of the light and positive energy you could possibly draw down, I think that's so beautiful, because it's often the people who have experienced the greatest darkness and sadness, or whatever you might want to call it, who go on to experience the greatest light and enlightenment, quite frankly. What are your thoughts on that, Shannon?
You know, you hit a lot of really key things there. I have a lot of clients and actually a lot of friends who are going through tough times. And what they say to me is, I just want this. All I want is this. I'm not asking for a lot. Just let me get by. Well, what they're doing is creating just getting by. And then they get angry because they didn't create what they wanted. Their lives are not what they hoped it to be because they're settling for less. And in this lifetime, you don't have to settle for less. You need to create what it is that you were wanting in your life. And even then, it isn't about wanting. It is about being. Because when you say, I want something, and especially if you put just in there, you know, I just want something, you're creating lack before you even start.
Yeah. That's.
You will stay in that energy of lack.
That's so interesting that you brought up the word jest. I'll never forget, before I started working on my current book, Stop Hoping, Start Hunting, which you can find on Amazon or online, there was another book that I was working on first called Do You Have What It Takes to Be a Six-Figure Success, where I was very fortunate. I got to interview 6, 7, 8, 9, 10-figure earners from around the world, from top photographers, Joseph Gordon-Levitt, you name it. And one of the things that was interesting, though, here I was writing this book, and this was probably 7 or 8, 9 years ago, and my mom was so great. She was helping me edit this first book I was working on, and she observed in my writing, she said, Jen, do you realize how often you use the word just? And that when you put the word just in front of anything else, it completely invalidates and disempowers the rest of that sentence, no matter how powerful these people are or the words you might be trying to say. And so that really gave me perspective, and you're probably only the second person who I've heard say that, Shannon, in a long time. It's so true. When we say just or should, there are so many words out there, just, should, try, maybe, hope, it's hard. It's our language directly correlates to what we have or don't have in our life, and yet nobody wants to take responsibility for that.
Absolutely. And I mean, you hit it on the head. You know, it's like we always want to give ourselves less. We want to settle because that's what we've been taught to do. You should feel lucky that you have this. Well, absolutely feel in gratitude for what you have. But isn't it a successful person who always strives for more? And it's not about being greedy. It's not about being selfish. It's about living to your fullest potential and really accomplishing what it is that you want to accomplish in this life. No millionaire or no successful person sat down and said, yeah, that's enough. I'll just take this. No, yeah. They kept going. Right? And so I completely agree with you.
Yeah, it's funny you bring that up because yesterday evening was the first celebration of just drawing down light and positive energy. And there was this woman who was sitting next to me who was just brilliant and smart. And, you know, we had this great conversation. And she was telling me, I mean, she had what many people would consider a dream career. She goes back and forth to London several times a year. She's a famous filmmaker. She was telling me, and she was in Cannes earlier this year for the film festival. And many people would, you know, trade their lives to be in her position, right? And she said, Jen, I just don't know what it is, though. Something's missing. And we got on the subject of gratitude. And I said, you know, I have to tell you, the thing for me that shifted my perspective 180 degrees from where I was probably 2 or 3 years ago was this great project online. I think it started as an Instagram project called 365 Grateful, where the goal was this woman who I think was a mother with kids was this great photographer, but she just lost her light. She lost her passion. And it turned out she realized she wasn't grateful. It's not that she didn't love her child or love her husband or love photography. She just didn't appreciate it. And so what she did is every day for 1 year for 365 days, which is where 365 Grateful comes from, she posted one thing on social media. I think specifically it was Instagram that she was grateful for. And out of that, her whole life shifted. And all of a sudden, happiness and abundance and joy just beyond her wildest dreams started to show up for her. So I did that same project probably about 2 or 3 years ago now. And I started with about 419 days of gratitude. And then I started realizing, well, gosh, there's not just one thing I'm grateful for every day. There's probably 10, 20, 30, 100 things I'm grateful for. And then I began listing every morning as part of my meditative practice. And, going through my intentions in the day is I list the top 10 things I'm grateful for. And so this filmmaker and I are having this conversation last night, and you could see Shannon, her whole face just shifted. And she looked at me and she said, Jennifer, that's what's missing. I just got it. I'm not grateful for my life. And I said, awesome. So that's it. You know, the moment you have that insight and you can identify what's missing that would make a difference in your life, be it gratitude, be it, you know, joy, kindness, love. There are so many things, these little itty bitty things that could be missing that could completely shift and transform our perspective. She got it, Shannon. In that moment, she was like, oh my God, if gratitude were present, that would shift everything for me.
You know, I had mentioned to a client the other day, and it's funny that we're bringing this up. My client was complaining about all these other people and what these other people have done to them. And this person was not successful because of these other people. And I had said, you cannot be a victim and a leader at the same time. Mm. And if you want to be a leader, you must step out of the victim role, because everybody in this world will victimize you if you let them. But if you allow yourself to be the leader and take responsibility for whatever your role is and whatever is happening, you are no longer the victim, you are the leader, and you're the leader of your own life. And taking charge of your own life is what is important, because no one else creates for you. You create for yourself. You came here by yourself, you're leaving by yourself. Yes, you're going to have wonderful people in your life, and you're going to have a lot of support and a lot of people holding your hand and tons of things to be grateful for. But if you cannot see yourself as the leader and as someone who can really make good things happen in your life, then you're probably going to sit there and blame everybody else for everything else that's happening in your life instead of taking charge for what you need to do.
Yeah, and it's that's perfect, because it ties into satisfaction, personal satisfaction and empowerment. You know, that is the thing that I find most people are missing that could bring them lasting happiness and fulfillment. I've had two of my closest girlfriends in the last several months bring up to me about guys they've been dating and how they were frustrated with X or Y, and he didn't make her happy for whatever reason. And I'm sure it could go the opposite way just as well, you know, about a male feeling like his significant other didn't make him feel satisfied. And the fascinating thing that keeps coming up for me, satisfaction is 100% your responsibility. The minute you enter into any employment relationship, into any personal friendship or intimate relationship, the moment that you depend your happiness and satisfaction on somebody else's results or what they're going to do or not do for you, you've given all your power away. You've given away your chance to be happy. And both of my girlfriends, when they got it, one is now in a totally happy relationship, and the other one is just starting to date, realizing like, oh my God, wow, what would it be like if when I went out with a guy, I wasn't waiting for him to satisfy me, I was just generating being satisfied. And it's just a completely different perspective than blaming other people of, oh, this date isn't going well, oh, my boss is a jerk, so my job sucks, you know, whatever the personal or professional situation you might find yourself in. If you can be 100% accountable in any relationship, it's 100% you and 100% the other person, but you don't get to blame it on them, or you could, like you just said, Shannon, but then you're giving your power away and you're choosing. And if you can really get this to anybody listening out there, you are choosing to be a victim.
Absolutely. You know, to expand on that is, I mean, it, a little bit is to say, you know, a lot of people, and I've actually mentioned this to many of my friends and thought of it myself, but a lot of people say, well, if I'm a strong woman, I'll scare the man off.
Right.
Because, you know, they say, well, if I'm responsible for my happiness, then I'm going to be a strong, independent woman. And I encourage every single woman in this world to be strong and independent. Now there is a way of being abrasive, you know, and you do need to watch being abrasive, but to be strong and independent is not about being abrasive. Strong and independent, like you were saying, is being satisfied with yourself. And if a man is intimidated by that, or if a man cannot take your being strong and independent and they need you to be needy, then they're probably not the right man for you anyway.
That's true.
When you move on and find the person who is a partner, not your other half, but a whole in and of himself. It takes two wholes to create a strong partnership, not a half and a half. And a lot of people will say, oh, I'm looking for my other half. And I said, oh, good luck in the relationship then, because if you're finding a half and you're expecting to be the other half, that it will never match.
Yeah, you're totally right about that. And the interesting thing too, from whether we're talking about a work situation or an intimate or even personal friendship, what's really interesting is if you are ever in the presence of somebody who's fully satisfied and happy and just they radiate this vibrance. It was so cute yesterday or 2 days before on the plane on the way up to Napa, there was this lovely man and woman who are a couple sitting next to us. And this woman had this phenomenal job working at one of the top art schools in the country. And to watch her talk about these kids and the difference she got to make in her life, in the lives of the kids, and to watch her husband share or hear her say this and see her light up, it made him light up. And the same is true in an interview situation, in any situation you find yourself in. If you can speak about something authentically, confidently, and really express joy from a true place, there is nothing sexier, there is nothing more desirable that an employer, a significant other, a potential friend, it's like a moth to a flame. When somebody has that je ne sais quoi, that certain something, that just light in their eyes about whatever it is they're passionate about, it automatically draws the perfect people, the perfect job, the perfect significant other to you. And that's just something to keep in mind, is just notice when you're being fully satisfied and being 100% responsible for where you're coming from.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, to add to that, I tell people, you know, when you draw and attract, and this is in work or in relationships, you draw and attract exactly what you feel about yourself. So if you feel that you aren't worthy of something, or if you don't feel that you love yourself, or you feel unsatisfied with yourself, you're going to draw and attract those situations to match what it is that you feel about yourself. And so once you start feeling better about yourself and satisfied with yourself, then you do start to draw those people, like you were saying. You put out this radiant energy that draws radiance back to you.
Absolutely. And the interesting thing is, going back to the New Year component of today that we're looking at, whenever we're looking at a new year or a new energy, and no matter what spiritual or religious discipline you believe in, or if you believe in nothing, there's always those opportunities to kind of reset the clock. And another interesting inquiry that we got to engage in as part of this morning's dialogue that I really loved is to just let go of anything that's no longer serving you. Like, for example, we were all looking this morning at our lives over the past year, and no matter who you are, in the last year, you've probably had a handful of blessings, and you may have seen some sad things. God knows there's been shootings, there have been awful things that have happened around the world, and there's still pain and suffering out there. And so what we're up to on a global consciousness level is being committed that global suffering, that sadness at any level, whether it's for me, for you, or for a complete stranger, no longer exists, and to eliminate all suffering. And the way that actually ties in is through our consciousness. In fact, I've been wanting to ask you about this, Shannon. I was reading somebody else's book, another famous medium. You would probably know his name. I think he's in New York or San Fran or somewhere. And he was talking about a near-death experience and how when he left his body, he could see this web of connectivity of how every act that he had ever, lived on in his life on Earth, he could see like a spider's web. There's a name for it. I'm drawing a blank on it. Do you know what it's called? It's like Netra or somebody's web. Have you heard of this, Shannon?
I have not heard of it, but I do know I've experienced it. So I don't know what the exact name is, but I do know what you're talking about.
Yeah. And so here was the beautiful thing, is like, it's like a tapestry, supposedly, from people who have had, I've never had a near-death experience, knock on wood, I'm very grateful. But from the books I've read on it, there's a great book out there for any of you interested in the subject called Dying to Be Me that really gave me a lot of insight into it. And the way the people explain it, and you can probably explain it after this, Shannon, is that when you leave the body, you see like kind of almost like this thread of light that connects you to, imagine a spider's web that covers the entire planet, and you see the tapestry of every emotion, every thought you've ever, you know, had come to mind, or any word you've ever spoken, and you see this tapestry of how it impacted every other human being on the planet, no matter how near or far they were to you. Like, even this conversation we're having right now, somebody out there listening might share something you or I are saying and share it with somebody else, and who knows, that could impact our tapestry in the world. And that's the beautiful thing about consciousness. So what's your experience with that, Shannon? I'm sure you're much more well-versed in this than I am.
Oh, well, you know, I mean, I'm of the belief that past, present, and future all exist all at the same time. Mm. So what we're doing now, we're actually affecting all levels. And even though past is already past, it is affected by what we do today, because, you know, in the energy of the timeline, you know, timeline here is very linear, but in other realms, in other worlds, and in other dimensions, time is not linear. It is all around us. It is. And so when you are speaking, or when you are creating, yes, you're creating a tapestry, and other energies be it you or be it what's been done in the past or what's going to be done in the future, will add to that. And what's great about that, and this is what I've heard from the angels and from the spirits, is that when you cross over, when you finally, you know, end your days here and you graduate to the other side, you get to see all that. Mm. And you see, you know, how you've created or what you've created and what maybe needs to be a little strength and what needs to be strengthened in the next lifetime. I remember that I had gone on a shamanic spiritual journey, and I was going through, and it was a negative one, unfortunately for me, because I didn't have the wherewithal to know that I needed to infuse a positive energy into it. I just wrote all my intentions, and none of them had a positive light to them. They were all positive, but I did not say in the highest and best good. I just let my intentions flow. So I walked through the 9 levels of hell, which it stripped me of my entire being. It stripped me. I didn't remember I had a body. I didn't remember who I was. I didn't remember anything. And I remember my spirit saying to me, "We can die here." And I said, "Oh no, I can't die here because it's too dark here. I need light. I need love." And I actually felt a little sorry for the demons, for the emptiness that I felt and the pain that I felt. And so all of a sudden, for some reason, I remembered that the prayer, the yea, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death. Mm. And so I started saying it, and I was saying it over and over and over again. And all of a sudden, lots of other things happened, but in this time, Jesus appeared. Mm. And Jesus said to me, "You had to walk through this shadow of death, be stripped of everything to remember who you were and who you are now." And in that moment, all of my memories came back, my past, present, future, and even my identity on the other side. But what happened with this was, while I was going through this, God came to me and said, "Do you remember this person?" And he would show me a face of somebody, and he says, "Now this is the pain that you caused him.
Wow.
This is what your words caused him." And it was the most moving thing that I had ever gone through. And although it was a negative experience, it completely shifted my life, because I realized every action, every word, everything I do has a ripple effect.
Wow.
And it affects every single person in my life, around my life, or even in the world. So I need to watch what I say and watch what I do, and always make sure that everything I say and do has a positive intention, because I want to send out positive energy in the world.
Oh, that's beautiful. And there was this wonderful thing, I'm not sure if you saw it, it was on LinkedIn a couple of weeks ago, that was going viral. I think it was a mother who was sending her 4-year-old off to preschool. And so the mother, it just gives me chills to think about it. This mother tells her little 4-year-old to take a tube of toothpaste and to squeeze all of the toothpaste out of the tube. And the little girl does it gleefully, of course. What better thing could you tell a kid to do who's 4? And so the kid, super excited, squeezes all the toothpaste out of the toothpaste tube. And then her mom says, "Now great, I want you to put all the toothpaste back in the toothpaste tube." And the little girl, around 4 years old, imagine, looks at her mom and says, "Mom, I don't understand, Mom. That's impossible." And she says, "Okay, sweetie, now I want you to realize your words are like that toothpaste. Once they've been squeezed out and they've gone out into the world, you'll never be able to get them back in that tube." And I just thought, what a simple but beautiful analogy for a child to learn, and for us as adults too. I know it sounds like you literally had to go through heaven and hell to get that understanding, but for us in the here and now, to just be aware of our consciousness, to be aware of the power of the tapestry that our words create, in both an empowering and a disempowering way, and to realize the cost and impact that we have in the world, both good and bad. And the most interesting thing for me, since I've learned about the special 48-hour window of drawing down positive energy that we're involved in today and tomorrow, the one thing that fascinates me is just how little effort it takes to be kind. Like, what does it take to just not gossip, to be kind, to say extra words of kindness, and to show a little extra generosity and compassion to everybody in the world? And so my favorite thing about this 48-hour period is, yes, of course, during this period, I'm going to work on enhancing my own consciousness, being more mindful, being more thoughtful than usual. And then the game I want to play for the coming year is, what would it be like if I lived every day with that level of mindfulness and consciousness of the words I said, the thoughts I thought, and the lack of judgment? It all comes down to judgment, Shannon. I mean, honestly, we are constantly, in some way or another, judging ourselves, judging others, judging complete strangers, our loved ones. And it's all that negative energy that we're putting out there that directly correlates to, unfortunately, the sadness and the violence that we see in the world. All we have control over is our own thoughts and our own ability to accept others and have compassion for one another. And if we could just let go of that and let go of those judgments and instead come from a place of acceptance and unconditional love, I mean, what would that be like? I mean, with politics right now, I'm not, you know, this is not a political show. And so I meditate equally on both of the main political candidates, Clinton and Trump, every single week. I send them every day, actually, both unconditional love and light, because regardless of whatever my political views are, it's not up to me to hate. The minute you fight hate with hate, all you're doing is generating more darkness in the world. But if you may disagree with somebody else's belief, there are two things you can do. One, get informed, learn a new perspective. It'll help broaden your own horizons. And two, send love to that person, because sometimes the people who might have what we consider to be evil thoughts or negative things that we might judge them for, they could be going through greater hurt and darkness than we could ever imagine. And if you can just have compassion and unconditional love for that person, it's amazing how that can transform your own life.
Absolutely. And you know, what's the one fallacy, or there's lots of fallacies that we're taught when we're kids, but the biggest one that I remember is, you know, God made words and words don't hurt.
Oh, yeah.
You know, or you know, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words don't hurt me. Words are probably the most painful thing. I had read on Facebook the other day, and I love seeing all the inspirational stuff on Facebook, but they said, take a woman out of a physical relationship and she will heal. Take a woman out of an emotionally violent relationship or abusive relationship and she'll want to go back.
What?
And they were saying because the emotion or the verbal abuse, it starts to mess with your mind and makes you truly believe that you don't deserve. And that they, you know, you start to rationalize, oh, this person said this or did this. And sometimes in physical abuse, it happens too. But in emotional abuse, that leaves scars that, you know, that just never heal. And I mean, yes, you can heal them, but it takes a lot of work. And so, you know, what you say can damage somebody for the rest of their lives. And I always joke, I said, women have the best memory of all. They will remember exactly what you said, exactly what you were wearing, probably the stance that you had when you were saying it, and what day it was, and how what the weather was like on that day. And they will tell you word for word exactly what you said. It doesn't matter if it was 20 years ago. And so, you know, words are extremely important, and they affect us on an extremely deep level.
Yeah.
And so I think it's very, very, very important to guard your words and to guard what you say. And if you, you know, what is the gateway? If it's not, there are some three rules.
Oh, the Sufi gates.
Saying something.
Yeah. I think it's a three. It's a rule, Sufi rule gate, something like that. Does it need to be said? Is it true? Does it need to be said? And can it be said from a place of kindness? Is that what it is?
Yes. Is it true? Is it necessary, or is it kind? Yes.
That's
exactly it.
That's so true. And it's so funny that you bring that up. I'm tying that into some corporate trainings I'm doing right now. And that's the most important thing when you're dealing with any sort of conflict in the workplace. Really, if you can learn to respond rather than react, which is a more powerful stance, and just to pause and then ask yourself, allow a breath and ask yourself those three questions. And I like to throw on the other one of, am I taking it personally? And if you can say, no, I'm not taking it personally, you know, yes, it is true, yes, it needs to be said, and yes, I can say it from a place of kindness, then that's when you know that you're responding rather than reacting. And you were going to say something else,
yeah,
too.
No, yeah, I was going to say, you know, and one of the things that I always advise, and this is what I try and follow myself, not try, I work to follow myself, is that, are you, take a look at your reaction and what you're getting ready to say, and ask yourself, am I reacting out of ego, or is this absolutely necessary? And so sometimes a lot of us, and you were saying it, I just said it a different way, but if your ego is involved, you're aiming to hurt somebody. You're relashing out. You're trying to even the score. But if you're responding out of this is a necessity, this is where I need to to draw the line, then that's a different thing. But when you're actually acting out of ego really doesn't have a measure, and it will do whatever it needs to do in order to feel vindicated or justified.
Yeah, you're absolutely right about that. One great reading for our listeners, I'm not sure if you've read this book or not, Shannon, but another recommendation that I cannot recommend enough is called The Four Agreements. Have you read that book?
I have not.
Oh, gosh, it is so brilliant, and it ties in perfectly to everything we're talking about right now. So for any of you out there looking to shift your consciousness or just looking for a new way to perceive things or a new perspective, I think I'm drawing a blank on the author's name, but if you Google search The Four Agreements, I know you can find it on Amazon and other places, and I'll try to see if I can remember this off the top of my head. I believe one of the first agreements is to be impeccable with your word, and that's so important. Like what we were just talking about is that you can say good things or you can say bad things, and all of it is going to have a direct correlation to what you have in your life. Another one that I think he talks about is to be careful about not assuming anything. We all get in so much trouble, and I see this all the time in the corporate world, where our assumptions, we assume our boss wanted X done this way, or we assume somebody doesn't like us, or we assume the tone of an email. And so he really encourages people to not make any assumptions. And if you can stop yourself from making assumptions, and if you can be aware of the words you're using, and what was the other one? There were two other ones. Another one was do the best you can. That's the one that he says, of all the different things he talks about in the book of the four agreements, he says doing the best you can is something that we can all manage to do every day. Some days the best we can is going to be better than other days. And some days the best we can is going to be worse, just depending on did we get enough sleep? Are we healthy? These little, subtleties that are going to tell us, are we able to, do the best we can? And then of course the fourth one is what we were just talking about. Don't take anything personally. And my favorite part that I'm personally working on with this is to not take the good or the bad personally. So if somebody says to you, Shannon, you're the most tremendous, spiritual leader I've ever met, and you're so talented, to not take that personally. Or if somebody says, Shannon, I hate you and you totally suck, to not take that personally, because neither one is a reflection of us, of you or me. It's a reflection of that other person's internal state, and then it gives you complete and utter freedom and power if you can learn just not to take anything personally. But it's definitely something that can take a little bit of work to practice.
Yeah, I think I still need work on that one.
But see, that's the great thing. That's the thing about life, is that we all choose to be here in the schoolyard, and we get to choose to practice and try again and dust ourselves off and get confronted by a situation, then go, okay, well, I'm choosing this obstacle, and why am I choosing this, and what can I learn from this? And that's it. I think just looking at every obstacle in our lives as a gift, and instead of saying, why me, really saying, why me? Okay, this is great. Why do I get to work on this obstacle today? And seeing it as a gift rather than a burden.
Yeah, I look at every, I didn't before, but now I look at every obstacle or every issue or even every, thing attained. I look at it as a learning lesson. And I always look at it and say, okay, what am I learning from this? Especially if it's especially difficult. I take a look at it and say, okay, I put this in my life for some reason. What am I learning from it? And you had mentioned about words and about sending light. And about 9 years ago, actually about 10 years ago now, wow, time flies, I was probably one of the most negative people you could meet.
Wow.
And now I was a good person. But I would complain to anybody about my situation. Anybody that would listen, I would tell them about my situation. And I was complaining about a person or a relationship that I was in. And somebody had asked me to watch The Secret. And I watched it, and I'm like, yeah, but The Secret is very important. But in that time, I wasn't quite ready. But the one thing I got out of it at that moment was that if I put the energy towards something, it creates it. Mm-hmm. And so the more I complained about this person that I was with, the more he proved me right, the more he would do whatever it is I was doing. So one day, I said, you know what? I'm going to stop this cycle. He can do whatever it is he's going to do. But when I get angry at him, instead of complaining about him or even pursuing with the anger, I'm going to send him light, and I'm going to see how that works. And I will tell you, yeah, our relationship didn't last, but he became a different person, and nothing he said or did bothered me anymore because I shifted, and I was the one who was pushing out light and actually receiving light. And my entire life changed. You know, I changed what I thought and what I believed, and I paid attention to the negativity in my life, and I really shifted it. And so my entire life changed when I started realizing that my thoughts, words, and actions created my reality. And so it changes other people as well, because as you send them light, they receive it. Even though it may not be conscious, they are receiving your light, and they will shift and change in their highest and best good.
Yeah, you're so right. What a beautiful thing to share, because that's it. Our perspective creates our reality. And there was a great quote I think I'd shared a few months ago from one of my spiritual teachers that was, if you see a thing as good, it becomes good. If you see a thing as bad, it becomes bad. So what's the harm in looking for the good in everyone and everything?
You know, it reminds me, you and I, working on our book, we were and we were talking about filters and how, and you explain it perfectly, but I will paraphrase. And so you were saying how we view things or our experience gives us a filter for how we look at somebody else.
Yep.
And when we are looking at that person as whatever it is that we believe them to be, it may or may not be true, but we create it.
Hmm.
And we actually judge them on that basis. The way you say it is impeccably good.
But, I don't know about that.
It really affected me. It affected me on that, because I was saying, what are my filters? What am I judging somebody to be? For instance, when we look at a homeless person, the first thing that our filters, not all of us, but the first thing our filters are is, oh, this person's a drug addict. Oh, this person is violent. Oh, this person must be, you know, mentally ill. And we don't even know that person. We have no idea. This person could be extremely down on their luck. They could be suicidal. They could be as sad and need someone to talk to. But we've already given them their assigned filter.
Yep. You're totally right. And that's, you know, that leads into something really interesting that I would love to challenge any of our listeners, whether you're tuning in now or a month from now and downloading this show on iTunes. You know, I really want everybody out there, do one act of kindness. It could be giving food to a homeless person. It could be saying a kind word to your quote unquote enemy or somebody you disagree with. It could be buying the person in line behind you a Starbucks coffee. That happened to one of my client's daughters the other day, and she was just so baffled by gratitude and appreciation and flummox that a complete stranger bought her coffee, the person who was in line in front of her. And so we never know whether it's a smile, whether it's a kind word, whether it's sharing your meal with somebody or just sharing a profound thought you have or being kind to somebody you may not agree with. Those are the little things that can shift and transform the consciousness of humanity and impact that web of everybody's consciousness that Shannon and I were talking about earlier. And I just love that you tied that in perfectly together. It's all about how we perceive and just bringing that little bit. You know, some days one of my last things that I'll share with everybody is when you're in a dark place, we've all been there where we've been depressed, we've had sadness, we've lost a loved one or had a challenging professional situation or personal situation. The best way to generate light or positive energy or to get yourself out of that dark area is an act of kindness. It's only when we get outside of ourselves and do something kind for another human being that we have access to our greatness, that we have access to light and to seeing that little shimmer of light when you're in a place of complete darkness that you feel like you can't get out of. And no matter how many people I've come across, whether it's been moms I've known who have had postpartum depression or PTSD veterans I've dealt with, or even just somebody down on their luck, even a homeless person, if you can just get that person to share and share in whatever way they have a capability to share, it's remarkable what sort of, you know, transformation and miracles can happen.
And you know, that is completely true. I mean, that incident actually happened to me the other day. I was standing in line, and it was late. I would have gone to visit friends, and I was standing in line to buy a drink, and there was these two guys taking their time. I mean, they were just, you know, they were getting rung up, and they were getting something else and doing all of this, and the cashier said, "You're holding everybody up." And then the guy goes, "Well, if I'm holding everybody up, I might as well buy everybody their stuff." And so the guy goes to grab my drink from me so they could ring it up, and I was a little bit baffled at first. I'm like, is this really happening? But yeah, he bought everybody their items in line.
Wow.
And it was such a weird feeling, but a good feeling at the same time, because I'm going, wow, these guys are doing such a nice thing. Yeah, they were being a little annoying at first, but they were being considerate of everybody else, and they said, okay, if you need to go, I'll buy your stuff, and there you go. You know, and it just became a very good thing. And I do that. I do my best, you know, especially when things are going great, I always want to pay it forward. And so I will pay for somebody's stuff, but then I say, don't mention, you know, don't say who did it. Just do it, because I'm not doing it for the recognition. I'm doing it to share light, so that light can go somewhere else as well.
Yeah, absolutely. It's just about anonymous good and doing great things. Well, for any of you out there who want to meet Shannon Leishner, who's just phenomenal, A, you can hire her. I mean, I've used her as a spiritual consultant for all of my business needs for many years. Shannon, can you spell for everybody your website, and then I'll tell them about your latest CD and the charity event that you're going to be at?
Yes, it's Shannon Leishner. So it's shannonleischner.com, Shannon Leishner.
Awesome. Yeah, and you can find, is your CD available there, the Awakening CD that you were telling me about earlier?
It is. I have that. That's my newest one, is Awakenings, and then I also have Freedom from Trauma CD, and both of them are available on my website.
Fantastic. And for those of you who want to see Shannon live in person, you can go to the Orange County Legal Administrator's website. There's a party for charity in Tustin at the Marconi Museum on October 15th. There are still, I think, only 10 or 20 tickets available. Both Shannon and myself will be there. Shannon is so incredibly graciously donating her time to do some free readings for the attendees who are there to support this amazing charity called NFED, to support children with ectoderm dysplasia, which is a very rare children's disease. And again, you can go to the Orange County Legal Administrator's website, and at the bottom right-hand side of the screen, you'll see a calendar, and on that calendar, you'll find on October 15th, there's a button to register for that event, and we're close to being sold out, but I believe there are still a handful of tickets left available for that. Again, you're welcome to hire Shannon online directly. She's phenomenal. And next week, we're going to have David Cunningham joining us, who is a Landmark Forum leader, and for any of you who have been tuning in for any amount of time, you know that in addition to Shannon and Kabbalah, which I love, I've been studying with Landmark Education for over 10 years, and definitely attribute much of my success and prosperity to the lessons I learned from that program. And so I'm delighted that David will be joining us on the show and talking to us about how to overcome any limitations, personally, professionally, or otherwise, and living that extraordinary life that you love. So tune in again every Monday at 4 p.m. to LA Talk Radio for Get Yourself the Job. You can also find us on iTunes at Get Yourself the Job. And for any of you who want to learn more about love or light or some of the stuff that I was referencing with Kabbalah, I'm pretty sure the website, I think, is Kabbalah, K-A-B-B-A-L-A-H, if I'm not mistaken, .com, and you can find some information on Rosh Hashanah and how to draw down positive energy and all of that stuff, not only for this 48-hour period, just for the coming year. I mean, I'm so grateful that I have so many amazing spiritual mentors like Shannon and teachers like the Kabbalah Center that I go to, and my intention for every single person listening out there is that you have an extraordinary life filled with more love, prosperity, abundance, and health than you could ever dream of. And so that is my wish, and Shana Tova, Happy New Year to everybody. And thank you so much, Shannon, for being on the show. As always, I'm grateful for all of our listeners tuning in, and we'll have to have you on again in the show next year, Shannon.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me. Blessings to everybody.
All right. Thanks, guys. Happy New Year.
You're listening to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill, only on LA Talk Radio.